with our iman and grant every one of us al-istiqamah, the steadfastness on the path of Allah, on the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the way of the pious predecessors. Ameen. Once again, I appreciate the effort of our brothers and sisters over here who took out of no time to learn of their deen, to increase in iman, to have one of the businesses of Al-Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not deny every one of us the reward of this. May He continue to increase our iman and to grant us our inner desires. The topic, as we said, has to do with Al-Aqidah. Al-Aqidah, as taught by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and preserved by the Sahaba, by the companions, by the Salaf. What is that Aqidah that is taught by the Prophet? And what is preserved by the Salaf? That will lead us to define the word Al-Aqidah and to let us know the importance of Aqidah in our life, in our deen. And some other subtopics will still follow if the time permits, inshaAllah. The word Al-Aqidah is an Arabic word. It is not a Yoruba language. It is not America or any other language than Arabic. And for some of us who can identify letters in Arabic words, you will discover that the major root letters in the word Al-Aqidah are just three. We have Al-Ain, Ain. In the alphabetical, we have Ain, Gain. In the alphabetic order, Ain, Gain. Ain, then we have Qaf in the word Aqidah. Qaf. Ain, Al-Ain, Al-Qaf, then we have Dal. The Yao and the Raleta are just So, the word Al-Aqidah, as we said, is an Arabic word that came from the root letters Aqada. Aqada means to tie something down, to tie something down. When two things are apart, trying to bring them to become one is what you call Al-Aqidu. That is why we use the word Al-Aqidu, a marriage contract. When a man and a woman are about to become husband and wife. So what stands in between the two to bring them together as a family, as a union, is known to be Aqidu. We call it Aqidu Nikah in the perspective of fiqh. Aqidu Nikah, that is marriage contract. So we have the same word in the business transaction. What stands in between the buyer and the seller? That is the item, the product. What the seller wants to sell and what the buyer wants to use to buy from the seller. So before they can exchange, there must be what you call aqidu, business contract in between the two. So and when it's bounded, then you can see the market, the business is successful. Yes. So we have aqidu libay, that is business transaction. So anytime where we have the two different entities coming together to become one in a process, it's known to be aqidu. So the same thing is the application of this word in Islam when it comes to the study of Al-Aqidah. Al-Aqidah has to do with you as a man, or you as a woman, or you as a person, as something held. Yes, something held is what comes to you, and you take that in and You install that thing in your heart. The heart is the place of aqidah. The heart is the place of aqidah. Though not only the heart, or when it is in the heart, it reflects in every part of the body. That is why aqidah lives in the heart. And aqidah lives in the heart. Aqidah lives in every part of the body. Your brain, your eyes, your nose, your hands, your legs, every part, even to the private part. There is no any one that is any one of our parts that is exempting from the aqidah. So aqidah is what you tie down to your soul, to your heart. Yes, that is the meaning of aqidah. You know, human being is created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in three different entities. One, the soul, which is known to be ruh, ar-ruh, which only Allah knows the real essence of ruh. Only Allah can give us the axiological understanding of the ruh. It is only Allah. Yes. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ. You shall be questioned, O Muhammad, about ruh. قُلْ هُوَ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. Tell them that it is the matter that belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. وَمَا أُوتِيتُ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. It is just little knowledge we give you. Your knowledge does not encompass the essence of the ruh in reality. So we human being is constituted with ruh. Then we have al-qalb. Al-qalb is the heart. Is the heart. Both of them work together. Yes, we have the heart. Yes, then we have the body. The body. Anything aside your heart, aside your soul, is your body. So these are the three compositions that constitute what a person is, either a man or a woman. But it's only the soul that dies. It's only the heart and the body that die. It is only the soul that doesn't die. The soul of every human being does not die. The same soul that we are using here in this world is the same soul that is going to continue with us after the death. It is the same soul that we are going to be resurrected on the day of judgment. It is the same soul that, inshallah, every one of us will spend the youth in Al-Jannah. It is the same soul that the non-Muslims who also use the kuffar, the mushrikun, the unbelievers, the disbelievers who use in the hellfire. Allah does not create the soul to die. But the heart and the body, yes, they are bound to be die. Now, so whatever we put in the heart, you know, the heart stands to be a point where you connect your body to your soul. That is the heart. Where you connect your body to your soul. When you connect your soul to your body, that is the heart. That is where what you call the niyyah, intention, which is also one of the compositions of the aqidah, where it lays. Now, so when I'm talking of an aqidah, I'm just giving the grammatical background of it, of what the word al-aqidah. Al-aqidah to mean where you make the contract, when you tie something down with. That means aqidah. But when you talk of al-aqidah in Islam, al-aqidah in Islam means having iman, faith in everything that is reported by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-aqidah in Islam means to have a strong, unshakable faith. Iman, believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and anything that has to do with Allah. To have the iman with angels of Allah, the malaika, and anything that surrounds that belief in angels, and so on and so forth, of the arkan al-iman, of the articles of iman. Then to have iman in every information given by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is what we call the aqidah in Islam. That is, a Muslim will only have in his heart all what the Prophet ﷺ brought to us as information, preserved in your heart, and also put into practice with part of the body. That is the meaning. That is the meaning. So, that is what we call al-aqidah. Al-aqidah is what you tie down in your heart. You tie that in your heart, and every part of your body also is submitted to it. It's submitted to it in every information given by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's the meaning of aqidah. And that is why in Islam, when someone accepts Islam, there is a concept that Islam has propounded or that for him to have a best journey in his Islam. Because many people accept Islam, but at the end of the day, they end up having nothing to do with Islam, or even their Islam is not that Islam of the Prophet, they fall into hypocrisy. Some even, yes, they bear the names of Islam, but they are out of Islam. Why? Because they did not apply the principle of at-tahliyah wa tahliyah. At-tahliyah wa tahliyah. What is the meaning of this principle, of this concept? Is that tahliyah means cleansing, clearing. You clear everything in your heart. You make your heart to become empty. Yes, then you now replace those things you remove in your heart with Al-Quran and the Sunnah, with what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us of information about the belief, about Iman. That is tahliyah. Just like when someone gets a new apartment that someone had just used before, the whole tenant, you happen to be the new tenant. It is not you just pack in like that. You have to clear some rubbish, some dirt in the apartment before you come in. Many people even come in after painting, after rearranging many things in that building, before they can come in. That's the process of tahliyah wa tahliyah. You don't just rent a house where someone just departed and just pack in like that with the refuse and other things that the whole tenant are left behind. You don't just do that. You have to apply tahliyah. Tahliyah means you have to empty the place with unwanted elements. Then you come in with your own preserved elements. That's the meaning of tahliyah thumma wa tahliyah. Tahliyah thumma wa tahliyah, or tahliyah wa tahliyah. That's the meaning. That is why the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were able to be the best human beings on earth. They are able to be the best students that Islam has ever produced. They were able to become the most loyal personalities to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, they were idol worshippers before. They were idol worshippers. They were onisheshi before. Then, when they accepted Islam, they applied this principle. They removed everything in their heart just for the revelation to come in to overshadow their heart. And you see, what is their result? You are the best. Yes. After the Prophet and the messengers of Allah, the next person to enter the Jannah are the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when you are talking of al-aqidah, that's the meaning of aqidah in the notion. Now, you see, aqidah is divided into two. It's divided into two. We have sound aqidah, as we have bad aqidah, the evil aqidah. The bad aqidah is the heart that contains nothing. That contains nothing except the guidance from the Quran, the guidance from the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is the sound aqidah. We call it al-aqidatu as-sahiha, the sound aqidah. Al-aqidatu as-salima, It is this aqeedah, this heart, that will enter Al-Jannah. Don't forget in Surah Al-Shura, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِلَّا مَنْ أَطَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. No one will enter Al-Jannah, because that day, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ. The money, the wealth, everything you possess cannot assist you, cannot support you, cannot promote you to enter Al-Jannah. Nothing. All the money, all the wealth, everything, your dollar, everything you have is that. In fact, even we too will know in this world, once we die, our whatever we leave behind as estate will become the property of our heirs, of those that will inherit us. So, where are they? Even if the property is kept, it's going to get destroyed. It will be killed. It will not be just useless. So on that day, the money will not be of any assistance. The children will not be of any help. Yes, to the parents, but your heart will be of assistance to you. And that our heart has conditions. The heart must be the heart with a sound aqeedah. إِلَّا مَنْ أَطَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that in the Quran. So, but whoever that has wrong aqeedah, that has evil aqeedah, the evil or wrong aqeedah is the aqeedah that does not go in line with Islamic teaching, that does not go in line with Islamic sources of information. Yes, we are coming to, okay, where do we get the aqeedah? Where do we take it? Where do we tap it? What are the sources of aqeedah? We are coming to it. So any aqeedah that is not from itself, the source, the original source of Islam, then that aqeedah is known to be al-aqeedatu al-batilah. Al-aqeedatu al-batilah. There are many Muslims here and there who are only working with the wrong aqeedah. They are only working with the wrong aqeedah. The essence of having the wrong aqeedah can make someone to become a munafiq, a hypocrite, can make someone to become a kafir, a disbeliever, can make someone to become a muqtadi, a heretic, ESA, person of ESA, can make someone to become person of ESA, a muqtadi. Someone who is not upholding the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there are many evil consequences of having a wrong aqeedah. So now, when we are talking of aqeedah, the source of aqeedah in Islam, the source of aqeedah are just three. Yes, initially there are two, but the two also resulted to want to make it three. The source of aqeedah is Al-Qur'an al-Kareem. Al-Qur'an al-Kareem. Al-Qur'an, we all know Al-Qur'an, alhamdulillah. We have it in our houses, we have it in our homes. That book, Al-Qur'an al-Kareem, is the word of Allah that contains the aqeedah, what a Muslim should believe and what a Muslim should not. Aqeedah, that's Al-Qur'an. That is, whichever information we get from the Qur'an is the aqeedah. You must not go against it. It has to do with the esoteric knowledge or the knowledge of unseen or the knowledge of seen, the knowledge of hereafter, the knowledge about Allah, the knowledge about everything. So whatever Quran has said, whatever the Quran has said, it should be the foundation of your belief. That is number one. Number two, we have the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whatever the Prophet said, whatever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did, whatever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam approved, should be the source of your aqeedah, should be the source of your information about your belief, your aqeedah. What you should have in your heart, what you should preserve in your heart, that should be the foundation. Yes. We call it an asasu foundation. It should be the root of from which many beautiful, succinct fruits are plucked. Al-Qur'an, the Sunnah. Then the third one is the practice of the companion, the practice of the Sahaba, the practice of those that Prophet ﷺ taught.
He taught them. Yes. And they became learners. Learners that cannot be compared. Yes. No comparison between the companions with anyone at the end of the world. They are the best. They are the best. So that means whatever that stands to be the consensus knowledge of the companions should be your aqidah. Yes, so in case we have difference among the companions, Abu Bakr said this, Umar said that, Uthman said this, that one said this, all of them holding to different views, then whichever you think that is convincing to you should be your own aqidah. And that does not cause any harm with another person that does not hold to your own aqidah. But that is not what you are saying. That cannot be the source of aqidah, the general aqidah for the Muslim. But whatever the companions, all of them agreed upon, then you have to hold on to that as your own source of aqidah, your own source of information. Not every information we get in the Quran. That is why we have the explanation, which is the Sunnah. And not every explanation you can understand. That is why we have the companions who will explain the understanding of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because they lived with him, they slept with him, they ate with him, they traveled with him, they suffered with him. The revelation came down to the Prophet while the companions surrounded him many times. So they were the best people to understand the knowledge of Quran, the knowledge of the Sunnah, than any other one. Yes, they are the best. So these are the three sources of Islamic creed, Islamic aqidah in Islam. Then the scholars have also, they've made effort. They've written many books on that. The effort of a scholar in preserving. No, what are the names or the titles that you use for aqidah? Because it is not necessary you come across the word aqidah. Yes, you must come across the word aqidah, then somewhere you may not even come across the word, and the contents are the same. They use the word aqidah, they use the word as-sunnah. Sunnah does not mean only the using of kiwak. Yes, having one's trouser above the ankle. No, that is sunnah according to the scholars of fiqh. We have up to 8 meanings of usage of sunnah in Islam. And the broadest one of the usage is to use sunnah to mean every information given by the Prophet. The way of the Prophet means sunnah. So when you say the way of the Prophet, part of it is salat, part of it is zakat, part of it is hajj. So that means as sunnah can mean the totality of the message given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when they use the sunnah in that context, then it means aqidah. Do you get it now? It means aqidah. So we have as-sunnah, we have al-aqidah, we have as-sharia. When the word sharia is also used, because the meaning of sharia means a path to a river where you can get drinkable water. A path to a drinkable water. The only path to a drinkable water is known to be sharia. Sharia, that's the meaning. So that's the aqidah too. Because the water that you want to drink is success of this life and the success of the year after. That which the only way to eat is what? Is aqidah. Is al-Qur'an. Is the sunnah. That's the only way. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. That is the conclusion of the success of Islam. The success of this world, the success of the year after, and also the preservation again, the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have a sharia. Also, there are other names that we have for it. Sometimes we can call it tawhid, which is also the meaning that the scholars use. Then after that, on the case of the we should get this principle that al-aqidah is tawqifiyah. Al-aqidah is tawqifiyah. Tawqifiyah means it is pegged until it is proven. Al-aqidah is pegged until it is proven. Don't forget, aqidah does not mean what Islam brought alone. Aqidah can mean anything. It is only that what Islam brought, what the Quran brought alone, the Sunnah brought alone, that should be the foundation of the aqidah of the Muslim. There are other aqidahs. We have evil aqidah. Now, if anyone should come to you with a belief as Muslim, you must not accept that from him until it is proven. He provides evidence from the Quran, from the Sunnah, or from the consensus of the companion. If there is no any evidence in the Quran, in the Sunnah, then in the ijma of the companion, then you have to reject it. You will reject it in totality. You will reject it in totality. You must not accept that from him. You must not. That's the meaning of al-aqidah tawqifiyah. Memorize it. Al-aqidah tawqifiyah. Waqafa. That is, aqidah is pegged until it is proven. So when it is not proven, you must not accept it, because there are many, many, many aqa'id. Aqa'id is the plural of aqidah. There are many aqidahs that are not proven. Yes, they have no foundation. As Muslims, you have to run away from that. Otherwise, contaminated aqidah in your heart will lead to wrong information, wrong knowledge, and that will lead someone astray. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve us from that. So, there are many books that scholars have written in preserving the aqidah. We have many books. Some books are even more than 1,000 years ago. Like the book of Al-Imam Ibn Abi Shayba, who died 235 Hijra. You know, Hijra is 1548 now. So, how many? More than 1,200 years ago. So, he wrote a book, he called it Kitab al-Sunnah. He called it Kitab al-Sunnah. Another one among the scholars, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbali, is a known scholar to everyone of us. He is one of the four famous imams of fiqh, of schools of thought. Ahmad ibn Hanbali, he wrote a book called Kitab al-Sunnah. He wrote another book, Usul al-Sunnah. Yes. There are other books like Imam Abu Dawud. All of them, they wrote many books. Many books, many books, many. In ages, in centuries, till now, scholars continue to write many books in preserving the aqidah. In modern world, in our contemporary life, we have scholars like Al-Imam, the great Imam, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abu Wahab, rahimahullah ta'ala. Regardless of wrong information that people are parroting against him, yes, that this great scholar did not leave anything behind if not the golden legacy for the Muslim children, for the Muslim homes, for the Muslim parents, for every one of us. He was a great scholar. Yes, in fact, he was the bedrock to have us with this modern Saudi Arabia. The safest place in the world is Saudi Arabia. Who planted that to be? This Sheikh, Sheikh Muhammad bin Abu Wahab, rahimahullah ta'ala. Saudi was not like that before. Yes, before the Sheikh traveled there. Alhamdulillah, look at Saudi Arabia. The safest, yes, we know we have shortcomings, but the shortcomings of Saudi Arabia is as known to other countries in the world. So Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abu Wahab, rahimahullah ta'ala, wrote many books which have employed everyone of you. In fact, in your weekly, whether you have a weekly program among yourself, get one of his books, the reading, the study. Even on your own as individual, get his books to read. Most of them have been translated into English language. We have Kitab al-Tawheed. We have Usul al-Salata. We have Al-Qawaid al-Arba. We have Kashf al-Shubuhat. All these are written just to preserve the Aqidah of the Muslims, Aqidah of the Prophet, of the Companions, of the Salaf. That is it. So if you can go for that, then we talk of the books of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala. These are the personalities, the great personalities in Islam that preserve the Aqidah of the Prophet from all angles, against the philosophers, against the heretics, against the innovators, against the idol worshippers who surrounded the Aqidah of the Muslims. They want to destroy it from outside. But these scholars, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, Ibn Qayyim Jawziyyah, Shamsuddin Ibn Qayyim Jawziyyah, students of Ibn Taymiyyah, Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, many great scholars like that, they protected this Aqidah of the Muslims. Alhamdulillah. That is why we could say we are Ahl-Sunnah. That is why we could say we follow the Sunnah of Muhammad. It's just because we have legacies that we can rely upon. If there are no legacies to rely upon, it is Barabudu, the contaminated way that people that we can see is what we are going to belong to. But Alhamdulillah, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has vowed in the Quran, إِنَّا نَحْنَ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. Verily, we sent to you Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam al-Qur'an. We gave you Islam. وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. We are the one to preserve it. We are the one to protect it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really preserves Islam. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has even promised us that no matter how corrupt are people, no matter how things have been contaminated, a group among the Muslims will still be on the truth. Will still be on the truth to the end of the world. Alhamdulillah. This is a good information. A good information from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, when I'm talking about Aqidah, now Al-Aqidah, divisions of Aqidah. Aqidah is divided into two. Aqidah is divided into two. One, we have Al-Itiqadiyat. 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 These are the Al-Aqidah. These are things that are related. That are related to knowledge. Al-Itiqadiyat. They are related to knowledge. What you know and you believe. What you know and you believe. So practice them with your body. Like people will know that you are doing it. If not, it is the matter of itiqadiyat. Yes, it is the matter of the second division of Aqidah. So the first division is al-itiqadiyat. What? The actions of the heart. The actions of the heart. What you must put in your heart. Yes, it's only the thing in the heart. Like al-Iman billah, the Iman in Allah, al-Iman in Kutub, the Iman in the books of Allah, al-Iman bil Rusul, Iman in the messengers of Allah, al-Iman bil Qadar, al-Iman, and everything of Iman. That is it. They are more than the six articles of Iman. They live in the heart. The knowledge. You know it. You know that you have it. How do you want to exercise that? Yes. So you believe in the angels. It is not like salat. It's not like the cat that we pay. It's not like the salat that we observe. But you make it embedded, rooted in your heart with due information given by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on that. This is what we call Al-Itiqadiyat. Is the first branch from the first division of Al-Aqidah. The second one is Al-Amaliyat. Al-Amaliyat. Al-Amaliyat is the actions of the extremists, actions of the body. actions of the body. The first one we said is the foundation, while the second division is the building. The building, you know, without building there is no foundation. Without foundation there is no building. And at the same time, when you have the foundation, when you have the foundation without building, what is the essence? What is the essence? When you lay the foundation, you don't make any building. What is the essence? No essence. Yes. It's not useful. At the same time, when you have the building without foundation, that one is not even possible. You know, but the building without foundation, the building will collapse. The building will collapse. So, the second one, the second division, is what has to do with action. The first one, what has to do with knowledge. The second one, what has to do with action. Examples of it is payment of zakat. Pay your zakat. At time to, you must have the knowledge. Yes, there's no any excuse. The same thing with salat. If you observe the salat with knowledge, there's no any excuse for someone who does not observe salat. Then the same thing with fasting, not of Ramadan, and all other Islamic rulings that pass through our affairs, social life, economic life, business life, family issues, friendship, work, and so on and so forth. Even the ceremonial issues. This is the second form of aqidah. You know, as Muslims, we have our own aqidah. When we have a new child baby, a newborn, we have aqidah. Our aqidah is to give thanks to Allah when you have a baby, whether a male or female. The first thing is give thanks to Allah. Then our aqidah says you should slaughter ram for a male, two rams, one ram for female on the seventh day. That is our aqidah. Our aqidah says we should give the child a name. Our aqidah says we should establish good parenting with our children. All these, they are foundations of ideal society. Yes, they are foundations of ideal society that are embedded in the Quran. So these are the two divisions of aqidah, as we say. Now, you see, if one has the two divisions in his heart, that means the person has al-aqidah al-sahiha, and the heart of the person is salim, is heavy. The heavy heart is the worthy personality. So, sound aqidah, what is the essence of sound aqidah? What is the importance of having sound aqidah? Number one, the essence of having a sound aqidah is that it is the foundation upon which everything you want to do as a Muslim, yes, will come upon. That is why Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spent more time building the aqidah of the companions of the Sahaba than the time he used in giving them the information of Salat, Zakat, and so on and so forth. Throughout of his stay in Mecca, he spent 13 years implanting in them, inculcating in their hearts the aqidah. When they got to Medina, he did not stop, he continued. And that is why it could be possible and it could be made easy for the companions to accept some rulings that are so difficult for non-companions to accept. For instance, when you meet a non-Muslim and you ask him to pay zakat, it will be difficult for him. He will tell you, no. Do you know how much stress I passed through to get this wealth? Did you walk with me? When I was suffering, where were you? No, I cannot. So to take, even to take little of his wealth will be difficult for him. But if the aqidah is preceded, no one will remind him to do that, but he will do it himself. Because you understand the essence of that way. Everything that you possess does not belong to you. Some of them belongs to people around you. Some of them, they are right of Allah. Some of them, they are home chance of use. You understand the philosophy behind the wealth. Another example. If someone does not have sound aqidah, or like if a non-Muslim does not have the sound aqidah, when a thief's hand is about to be amputated, he will kick against it. He will see it as not having mercy with that person. He will see it as extremism, terrorism, and his mouth. He himself will be doing something worse than that, but he will not applaud this for the Muslims. But for someone who has the aqidah, will know that yes, this is the judgment. This is what you have in the Quran. And that's how we believe in the Quran. You cannot go against it. And it's even the smallest form of punishment for him. And it's one of the ways to deter people from falling into the same thing. It's a deterrent. That is it. The same thing with the issue of hijab. Some will say, I feel it. I cannot use hijab because I use the ITB, I think I want to die. Yes, that is how it will be for him. Why? Because his aqidah is not sound. If a Muslim woman is saying this, her problem is not hijab. Her problem is aqidah. The aqidah is not sound. The foundation is not there. If the foundation is there, nobody will teach you this. And when you use hijab, you don't feel that heat. You don't feel it. You don't feel it. You don't feel oppression. You don't feel hardship in submitting yourself to the injunctions of your creator. You don't feel it. Just like how a soldier will feel when he is commanded by his master to go for war. He is happy with it. He is happy with it. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to do something, as someone who possesses the sound aqidah, we are happy with it. That is why we could be able to fast 30 or 29 days of Ramadan without any feeling of stress. In fact, after Ramadan, we had up to his 6 days of Shawwal, alhamdulillah. And this is something that someone cannot even do for a day. Allahu Akbar. So aqidah, as-sahihah, the sound aqidah is the foundation upon which everything is built upon. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran. And anything you do as Muslims without aqidah, as-sahihah, as-sahihah, Allah will not accept it. Yes. Any righteousness you do without the sound aqidah will be rejected. Because you don't have the foundation. Losing the foundation means losing every building on it. Quran chapter 5 verse 1 and 10, Allah says, مَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُوا لِقَاهَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلَ صَالِحًا وَلَا يَشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُوا رَبِّهِ, whoever that hopes to meet his Lord, you hope to meet him, you have Allah, the creator, one day, you will stand in front of him. Give an account of your deeds and your actions, which everyone of us will be. فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. Allah says, then you should walk righteously. Yes, if you involve in righteous deeds, وَلَا يَشْرِكِ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ هَذَا. And it's not associated a partner in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the thing. So if one does not understand the aqidah, how will your salah be accepted? Someone that believes that you can call the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the time of distress. Your salat is not avoided. Your zakat will not be accepted. In fact, such a person is not a Muslim. Even if he has gone to Hajj 1 million years, 1 million times, because the foundation is wrong, the aqidah is wrong. Or someone that believes that no, after death, the cause are still coming back to this world. No hereafter. Once we die, we come back to the world to live in another place. You have to live in Kaduna. The Canadians will live in Nigeria. The Nigerians will live in Canada. And someone believes in this, and he says they're Muslim. Is that what Quran dictates? Is that the information from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? No. This is the wrong foundation. And the wrong foundation will make everything you do, your words in the path of Allah, your actions in the path of Allah, your souls in the path of Allah, anything you put in will be null and void. That is what the Quran is saying. Allah says in the Quran, another verse, Surah Zumar, verse 65, وَلَقَدْ حُوْيَا إِلَيْكَ O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's revealed to you, he's given you the revelation, the information that you need to pass across to them. وَإِلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ As he revealed to you, we reveal to the prophets and messengers before you. لَإِنَّ شِرَكْتَ If you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, commit shirk, shirk. No, don't forget, we said, Aqidah divides into two. We have Itikadiyat, then we have Amaliyat. Itikadiyat has to do with belief. Has to do with belief, with Iman, believe in Allah, whatever you need to know. In fact, every one of these elements of Aqidah deserves discussion. Months of discussion, months, lectures, long lectures. Every one of them. So, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet, He's revealed to you as we revealed to the messengers and Prophet before you, Laina Sharaq, if you commit the shirk, associating a partner with Allah, leveling the Creator with the Creator, leveling the Creator with the Creator, leveling, giving them the same right, placing them on the same platform. لَا يَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكُ Oh Muhammad, all your actions, your salah, your zakat, your effort will be destroyed. The exercise of fertility will not be accepted. وَلَتَكُنَّنَ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ On the day of judgment, you be among the believers, those who enter the hellfire. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could address the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like this, it shows that we are the ones that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is really addressed, because He has taught His prophet, He protected His way, He preserved His mission. Yes, day and night, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never committed shirk from the beginning of his life to the end of his life. He never did that, he never committed that. But it's just that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not joke, does not play with aqidah. Allah does not joke, does not play with aqidah. That is the meaning. So even if Muhammad could commit the same offense, he will be dealt with by Allah. Let's go back to talk of we, you and I. You can see, we need to preserve our aqidah. We need to preserve our belief. We need to preserve the knowledge, the information given by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We need to preserve that. Otherwise, someone will see himself to be with a Muslim name. Yes. With a Muslim husband, with a Muslim wife, with a Muslim children, but he or she is out of Islam. He or she's actions are condemnable, are not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is why we have to be very, very careful in that. Now, another topic. What leads to deviation of the people? What makes people deviated in the true on the false aqidah? Why people deviated? Why? You see, when you look at the history of human being, the history of human being reveals that, according to the Quran and the Sunnah, reveals that human being, yes, you and I, the first generation, the first people, they were on false aqidah. The world never witnessed wrong aqidah. It was the first human being, was Adam, followed by Hawa, alayhi salam. They were on Islam, they were on pure aqidah. Having a pure akida does not mean that someone cannot get, cannot commit a sin. In commission, you will seek Allah's repentance, yes. Because we are not angels, malaika. The malaikas do not commit sin because they are not created with passion. They don't have taste. But we have taste as human beings. We know what is sweet, what is not sweet. We know what is something, what is bitter, we know. So Adam and Hawa, alayhi salam, and their children, they were on sound aqidah. And that sound aqidah emanated from La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. There was no total misguidance during the time of Adam, alayhi salatu wa salam. Even after his time, Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu ta'ala, and the woman said, Kana. He said, Baina Adam wa Nuh. Baina Adam wa Nuh. Between the time of Adam and the time of Nuh, Prophet Nuh, alayhi salatu wa salam, Asharatu Qurun, like 10 generations, 10 centuries, 10 centuries, that is a millennium, 1,000 years. Kulluhum ala al-Islam, kulluhum ala tawheed. Everyone that lived in this 1,000 years, it lived on Islam, pure Islam. No shirk, no kufru, no disbelief, no unishashi, no. It was after the time of Nuh, alayhi wa salam, that the deviation came in, the deviation, total misguidance came in, that which made people to deviate from the sound aqidah. The deviation from sound aqidah started at the time of the period of Nuh, alayhi salatu wa salam. And that is why Nuh, alayhi salatu wa salam, could be the first messenger, the first Rasulullah. Before him, there were Anbiya'ullah, prophets of Allah. Nabiju is there from Rasulullah. Adam is the first Rasulullah. Before him, from Adam, Nuh was the first Rasulullah. Before Nuh, there were Idris, Adam, and many of the prophets of Allah. They were Anbiya. Because Allah sent them to only Muslims. Yes, they may have some wrongdoings, but their foundation, they have been very solid foundation. So when it came to the time of Adam, then there's a problem in what you call the problem in inhiraf, the deviation that affected the foundation. And when the foundation is affected, as you said, if the fruit, and if the root of the tree could determine the sweetness of the fruit of that tree, that is it. So, it is during the time of Nuh, alayhi salatu wa salam, that people got deviated. They got deviated. Yes, because of five personalities. These five personalities, they were righteous Muslims, they were good people, they observed the Salat, they had good aqidah. But when they died, people that they left behind, they built their statues, they built their statues on that particular spot that these five people used to sit, used to enjoy themselves. And when time passed upon time, those who did not have the correct history, they began to use the statues to be as places of worship, signs of worship. At the end of the day, they took them as their deity. Then we have what we call al-hinarafu kulli, total deviation. So deviation comes in through many ways. Why people deviated from the sound aqidah? Number one, which should be the caution for every one of us, so that you not get deviated. People you see around you, why did they get deviated? Why moving are deviating? Why people are falling into misguidance? Why are they not having the strong akida anymore? Number one, al-jahal, ignorance. Yes, which is the basis of every human being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created it with what? With ignorance. It is when we search for the knowledge, then the ignorance is erased, is cleansed off, replaced by knowledge. But if one does not search for knowledge, then ignorance will become king. That will have palace, that will have king, that will have queen. That is it. And that shows how important is knowledge. So absence of knowledge, which is ignorance, is one of the ways that many people can get deviated. Yes. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, "Inna ma tunqadu yura al-Islam." The robes of Islam, the robes that bind Islam together, will start severing, will start cutting off. Urwatan, urwatan, urwatan. One group after the other. إذا نشأ في الإسلام من لم يعرف الجاهلية. When we have in Islam those who do not understand the jahiliya period, who do not understand the essence of ignorance. That is it. So, but if you have someone with knowledge, you have someone with knowledge, knowledge gets increased. That is why you, as the head of the family, father, as the mother, we need to work together to preserve the akida of our children. You know, we put them in schools, in various schools. Yes. And those schools, for your information, the Western knowledge is here to contaminate the akida of the Muslim. It is not the function of the period to preserve, to let the children know what is good and what is not good in that Western education. Everything cannot be thrown away. At the same time, everything cannot be accepted. Otherwise, you know, that will not portray a Muslim as being an ideal Muslim. Number two is at-ta'assub. At-ta'assub means, no, leave me alone, no. Whatever my father said is what I will do. What I knew my father, I grew up knowing my father is what should be my own. That is my own dictate of Islam. I don't want to do what my father knows. And what my father left behind, I don't want to change it. This is ta'assub. It is condemned in Islam. It's not the way of the Muslim to use that as a reference. It is the way of the non-Muslim to use that. In Quran, Allah says, "Wa qila lahum, O Muhammad, when you tell the initiation, the idol worshippers in Mecca, it tells the Umar Azam Allah, follow what Allah has revealed. قالوا بل نتبع ما ألفينا عليه آباءنا. They will say, no, we are working with what we inherited from our forefathers. أولو كان آباءهم لا يأكلون شيئا ولا ينتدون. Allah says, they don't know that their fathers that they are trying to emulate do not have things, do not have intellect, and they are misguided. They are not on the guidance. So, we don't say, this is what my Abba has taught me. This is what look for reference. If the reference says the otherwise, you go for reference. You throw away whatever you collected from your stars, from your sheikh, from your father, from your mother, from your this mother. That is it. That is how we can preserve our Islam. Number three, at-taqlidul a'ma. This is a blind followership. You are doing something, you don't have the evidence for what you are doing. You are doing it because you saw someone do it. So you are now challenged. Where's the evidence? I saw him do it, that's why I'm doing it. No. You don't know whether you are a blind person. And the person also may be a blind person. Why will a blind person leading a blind person? A blind person leading a blind person to be. So whatever you want to do, you want to call your Islam, you want to take the be as the your own akida, then must have a reference. You must have a reference. For instance, someone believes that whoever that died, like what you call Akudaya, incarnation, reincarnation. Someone died in Lagos State, and the person is seen by by a set of people in Canada. Do you believe in that? That a dead person can rise again, living, enjoying himself in another place? having wives and children? This is what inherited in our culture. Does it go like that in the standard Aqidah of Islam? No. No, 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 that is what I believe. In fact, my mother told me this. My father also told me this. In fact, they narrated the story of a woman. This was called Tetalidu Ahama. You now ask, okay, where is the reference for your father? Where is the reference? I say, no, I don't know the reference. I just believe that my father cannot lie. No, this is Tetalidu Ahama, a blind following the blind. That's the meaning. And a blind following the man, following the blind, you know, all of them will fall into pitch. May Allah save us from that. So, whoever that dies, that's the end. You cannot see the person again. If you see something like that, it is not the person. It is the jinn. The jinn, this evil spirit, the evil spirit transforms to his form in order to deceive those who do not have the proper aqidah. If you have a sound Aqidah, you will know that now whoever that dies, that's the end. He has entered into barzakh. He has nothing to do with his life again. Even with common sense, someone dies in Lagos, he left property. He has not tasted the sweetness of his stress and effort on his children. So if the person has the opportunity to come back to this world, he will come home to enjoy the fruit that he has labored for. Not that he will not be seen in Kaduna today, Maiduguri tomorrow, roaming about. So that means, no, this is not Islam. So what you are saying in essence is that one of those elements that make people to go against Asan Akira is Atatalidu Al-Ama, the blind followership. Number four is what we call Al-Gulu, extremism. Extremism in loving the religious personality. Extremism in loving righteous people. Extremism in loving our parents. Every one of those personalities that I mentioned, they have their own limit of respect. We respect them. Yes, you must respect them. It's a very big foundation of morality in Islam. But the respect to be given to them has limit. You cannot give them the respect the one you give to Allah, to your God. But what makes people to go against wrong Aqidah, to have wrong Aqidah, is because they are too extreme in giving respect to some personalities. They are too extreme. They give them respect that belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. That's why you see some people, when they want to pray, they put the picture of one sheikh in his front, or they put it as bangles, or what do you call it, in their necklace, or they drew it on their body, or they call their name. This is wrong. It's extremism. Well, yeah, Muhammad, oh Muhammad, forgive me, save me, protect me. This is wrong. Why someone will be shouting the name of Allah? Because I had one affair that said, anyone that has problem, that has challenge, should call the name of Allah 7 times. The challenge will go away. He will overcome his challenge. Look at the stupidity. The stupidity, that is gulu. Allah is just a stupid. In fact, it's not even better than Lagos State. Yes. How many Lagosians are in Ilorin? There are many Ilorians in Lagos. Upon that, you cannot beg Allah in the name of Lagos State. But you know, when some people are extreme in their love for something, it leads them to what? To having wrong Aqidah. And they may end up becoming non-Muslim sometimes. Yes. So this is wrong. You don't need to shout Ilorin. Don't shout anything. The people of Nuhu, this is what they fell into. They love those five personalities. They say, لَتَذَرُونَ حَلِيَتَكُمْ وَتَذَرُونَ وَدَّلْ وَدَّلْ وَلَا سُوَى وَلَا يَغُوْ وَيَوُوْقُ وَنَصْرُ. These are the five personalities of the people of Nuhu. The people who came after them, took them to be their deities. It just little by little. You know, misguidance comes in little by little. Just like knowledge comes in little by little. One does not become misguided. Once, no, it's little by little. So this is then number five is al-ghafla wa tadabbur ayat Allah al-kawniyah. Then one of those things that make people to go astray in having the wrong aqidah is that people do not reflect in the actions of Allah, in the signs of Allah. They are night, mountains, even creatures of human beings and so on and so forth. When you think deeply in the creation which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only created, you will know, you will see the greatness of Allah and the mightiness of Allah. And that is why in Islam it is not allowed to think about the essence of Allah. La nufakir fi Allah fi dhat Allah. Man tafakkar fi dhat Allah halak. Whoever that thinks about the essence of God, that person will get misguided, will go astray. Rather, we think about the creatures of Allah, what Allah has created. Even you can look at yourself, you say, Allahu Akbar, for giving you what you have, for making you what you have, you say, Allahu Akbar. So, this is part of what we need to understand. Then the sixth of it is that many homes are devoid of teachings of Islam. Many homes are devoid of prophetic guidance. In your house, how do you set up? How do you structure your own family? The woman that you marry, how? What is your intention behind that? The man that you get hooked to. What's the intention to marry that man? Is it because of the money? Because of the beauty? Or because of the dream? Okay, the children that you want to work, you want to work to have. Why? Do you move close to Allah? Do you move close to Allah in having these children? Subhanallah. There are many questions for us to answer. Then, after having the children, what is the intention of having the children? Then the guidance. Because part of the shayla you see, whoever that does not have something cannot give it. What it don't have, it cannot give. And that's why we need to check our homes. Look at the kind of schools that your children are going to. Is it your putting them in that school? Do you want them to be successful in this world and the year after? If your intention is like that, yes, Allah will make you to be. Do you want them to become excellent in this world, not minding what will become in the year after? Yes, Allah is able to make someone to achieve that as well. So whatever you have in intention for the children, it is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to make them to be. Because our intention in having something to justify how we are going to make sacrifice with happy. But when you look into society today in the world, you will discover that many home controllers, many home builders are not being realistic because they lack proper aqidah. They lack sound aqidah of Islam, sound aqidah of the Prophet, of the early Muslims. Yes, that is it. It is not the issue of learning Arabic. But it's the issue of learning proper Islam. There are many people who learn Arabic. Look at in our environment here in Nigeria, or specifically in Yoruba land, there are many Arabic schools. But the Arabic schools, the good students that they are producing is less to the bad students that they are producing. Perhaps maybe because of the intention of dependence, or because of not having good foundation for that madrasa, or not having the sound material to learn. So, what you are saying in essence is that one should make sure that you try to have control of your house, You don't allow anything in the wrong aqidah to come in into your house. And Islamic Aqidah, Islamic belief, Islamic creed, Aqidah of Islam is free from any difference. It's free from any difference. That is one of the wonders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's free from any difference. There's no any defect at all in Islam. No any defect. Yes. Whatever you see that Islam has propounded, has established as part of our belief, as part of our culture in Islam, you should know that it is the best thing to do. But look at the case of riba, interest in bank. Look at the case of loan. Loan without interest. That is Islamic tradition, ages, centuries, and this is what many organizations, financial institutions are coming to. After they tried different ways of amassing people's wealth, then, you know, no peaceful living. No peaceful living. Loan with interest can lead to suicide mission, can lead to property destruction, can lead to many social evils. And this is what Islam has propounded for a long period. So that is one. Then two, Islamic aqidah cannot be changed. You can't change it. Nobody can change it. Yes, it is stagnant. It is stagnant. No, that's why Allah says, in the name of Allah, what Allah is preserving, who is here to change it? Who is here to amend it? Anybody that tries to do that will see himself out of the fold of Islam. And when one Afa in Yoruba land is trying to change many things in Islam, where is he today? Where is he today? So we cannot change Aqidah of Islam, because the Aqidah of Islam is free from hype, is free from adoption, is free from addition, is free from decrease. It is there. It is the way Allah gave to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the way Muhammad gave to the companions, and the way those who came after they also collected. Then to the end of the world. Then Aqidah of Islam also goes in line with the natural instincts of every human being. It goes with our natural instinct, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us. It goes in. Look at the knowledge. There is no any substitute to that, because that is the natural instinct of every human being. That's what we call Islamic learning psychology. Islamic learning to the developmental psychology in Islam, which is depicted in the Quran. How does a child grow in terms of knowledge, in terms of understanding, from the early childhood to the final stage? Everything is there in the Quran. Yes. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us. He is the one that has given us the manual, which is the Quran, which is the words, which we have as to be the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's the manual for us. If you want peaceful society, if you want an ideal home, if you want conducive environment, it is the Quran, the Sunnah, that we are going to use. The Aqidah of Islam is built upon evidence. Where is the evidence? So let this be your code. When someone says something strange to you, or it displays a strange action to you, you don't need to fight him. Just challenge him. Where is the evidence? From the Quran, from the Sunnah. Just ask him, did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say it? Did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam do it? Yes? Like someone that said, those who don't celebrate Muhammad, they don't love the Prophet, they are haters of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And one woman just stood up. The woman asked this big Afa. Afa, he said, those who do not celebrate Muhammad, they are haters of the Prophet. Afa said, yes, they they are haters. They don't love the Prophet. Okay. Abu Bakr Siddiq, do you know him? The man said, yes, I know him now. He's the first Muslim after the Prophet. Did he celebrate Maulid Nabi? Afa could not respond. What Abu Bakr did not do, Umar did not do, Uthman did not do, Ali did not do, the companions did not do. And those who came after them too, they did not do it. So you now doing it and now saying that those who did not do it, they are haters. No. You, that question alone has answered many, many questions. So that shows how the Aqidah of the Muslim is. I think the time, are we taking the time? I can still take you on. So maybe we should call you because of question and answer. Many of us may have some assignment to do at home, but it's left for you, the operator, to decide, yeah? As for me. Okay. Yes, I do. I do. I still have some lectures to do. So, the Aqidah of the Muslim, as we said, Aqidah of the Muslim involves many angles, as we said. Now going back to what you call the Itiqadiyat, the belief in Allah. When we say in Islam that Aqidah asks us to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does that mean? Yes. To believe in Allah, to have Aqidah in Allah, means to believe in Him, the only one, to believe in Him, only Him deserves the worship, to believe in Him, and only one provides for creatures, and to believe in Him, that only one has the authority over all His creatures. This is what we call Al-Aqidah Al-Ijmaliyah, the concise Aqidah when it comes to the creator Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is concise Aqidah. That does not mean that is the end. That is not the end. But at least this is the requirement for someone to have been said to believe in Allah, al-Iman billah. But, you know, knowledge is wide. There are other aspects too that the laymen may not have the opportunity to. And that is why those aspects are not required for them. But whoever, in one way or the other, that have that knowledge, must put the knowledge into practice. Whoever that tries to have that knowledge, that expand his knowledge more than the angles we listed, then such a person must apply the knowledge. That is why it comes to us, the names and the attributes of Allah. The names and attributes of Allah. It's one of the ways that many deviant groups deviated from Islam. That is the new topic, that what are the deviant groups? What are the groups that deviated from, that do not possess the correct Aqidah? What are the groups that do not possess the wrong Aqidah? Before I listed some, all the groups that do not go in line with the wrong, the sound Aqidah, the elements that they fell into to put them in the wrong Aqidah are: one, extremism, gulu, we call it gulu, extremism. They do more than what is required for them to do. What is required, they do it, and at the same time, they had to hit. That is extremism. Then two, ataxism means to do less of the requirement. To do less of the requirement. To do less of what you are required to do. What they have them to do, they do not do up to that. So they are not qualified to have the same akida. That is number two. You see, these two elements are the major challenges that put someone in wrong akida. Because in between the two lies the sound akida. You know? That is why the sound akida, we make it to be on the immediate cause, not to be extreme, and not to be lenient. No, yes, don't do below, and you don't do above. You stand to be in between. This is what Allah says in the Quran. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. Allah says, for that, you Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and your companions, and the Muslims after you, I put you on the middle course, not extreme, and not below. Unlike the Jews stand to be extreme, the Christians stand to be below. Yes, sometimes the Jews still may be below, but the Christians will be worse, will be extreme. But Islam makes us worse, to be in middle course, not extremism and not largely. Al-Islam baina al-gulu wal-jafa. Al-Islam baina al-ifrat wal-tafriq. Islam is in between extremism and the laxity. The laxity. Look at the case of the Boko Haram in Nigeria as a case. They are extreme. They are extreme. They want to, as they claim, they want to establish Sharia, which is good intention. But the way they are going about it, extremely. So we have some Muslims who say no, I don't want to hear any Sharia. In fact, they don't even pray. In every time they pray, they are not after Islamic teaching. That is laxity. So as the extremism is evil, so also the laxity is also evil. What is correct, what is good, is in between. Don't be extreme and don't be in laxity. That is what Akida Islam will keep. So when you are looking at the Akida of the Muslims, the Akida of the Muslim, Akida in Allah, Akida in the Kutub of Allah, in the ages of Allah, and so on and so forth, you will discover that there are some people who are extreme. They go beyond the normal belief, normal Akida. There are some who are in laxity. They are lacking that. Yes. We have the case of the Khawarij. Khawarij is one of the pagan groups. They are those people who believe that every Muslim must be free from sin as angels of Allah. That is extremism. The Boko Haram starts from their knowledge. The Khawarij, the extremists, the Osama bin Laden and so on, the ISIS, the Al-Shabaab, Al-Qaeda, the Swap, and so on and so forth. They don't accommodate anything to them. Any Muslim that commits a major sin has become a castle. They label Muslims as castle in order for them to see that their blood has become love for them to shed. That is it. So extremism. We have some other groups like that too, who are also extreme. And that's why the scholars of Sunnah throughout of the world are warning against the Muslim Brotherhood. They are warning against the Muslim Brotherhood. But the Muslim Brotherhood has become the bridge. Here, those who are becoming extremists are passing through to become extremists, to fall into extremism. The Muslims world, the Muslim world league, all Muslims in the world, the Ahlus Sunnah, they are warning against that. Thank you. we have those who do not believe that Allah has qualities. Allah does not have qualities, He only has names. And those who believe that Allah has names, but does not have qualities. But in the Quran, Allah has names, also He has qualities. You see, that is why I will employ you that in the next topic that you want to choose should be what is Aqidah of Ahl-Sunnah. By that, it should be easy for many of us to understand the proper, the essence of having sound Aqidah and why some other groups that align to Islam are not in the sound Aqidah of Islam. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تكلم صلاة الظهر في أرض الطائفة في الجزء نعم وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. أنا وأنت هنا. آمين 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 جزاك الله.
No, no, no.